Commence our worship tonight with the singing of 726. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be, in work or in waiting. Another year with Thee, another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving Thy presence all the days. Number 726, we'll stand as we sing together. In the Lord's presence. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and our loving and our eternal Father in heaven, we come into Thy holy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We still our hearts before Thee, O God, to pray for Thy blessing upon us tonight and upon this year into which we have entered. We pray, O God, that the Spirit of God would come and the blessing of God in a mighty way will be upon us. We pray, O God, for those times of visitation and refreshing. We pray, O God, for that visitation of Thy Spirit upon us, that, O God, we might experience the power of God upon our lives and our ministry. We're conscious of the barrenness of our lives. We're conscious of the coldness of our hearts. We're conscious of our failures. O Lord, we come to Thee confessing our failures, confessing our sins, and asking Thee, O God, that Thou wilt come to visit Thy church and to visit our hearts with a gracious heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival. We pray that Thou wouldst open those windows of heaven and pour us out that mighty blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Let it come, O Lord, we pray Thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting. Lord, revive the hearts of all. Come with that revival tonight. We pray that Thou wouldst remember each person that's gathered here tonight. We pray that Thou wilt speak to every heart. Speak to every man and woman, young person. And, O God, that Thou wilt show them their lost estate if they're not saved, and bring them to a knowledge of Christ. We pray, our God and Father, tonight, that you'll meet the need not only here in Ballygowan, but across the land, as the word is preached, across the world. Give those, O God, tonight too, in the midst of sorrow and loss, pray for comfort, even those in the family circle. We pray that you remember them tonight. And we pray that, Lord, in their sorrow and hopelessness without Christ, that they may turn to Thee and find in Christ that refuge and that peace that He alone doth give. Heavenly Father, remember too, O God, the needs of the sick of the congregation, those laid aside in beds of sickness. Pray for healing and restoration for all such at this time. We pray, Father, for those, O God, that are going through treatments. Remember Billy Heron as he goes for this treatment tomorrow. We pray for Billy that you will touch him, not only, Lord, physically, but spiritually, and open his heart to the gospel, that he might come and trust the Savior and be born again of the Spirit of God. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Hymn number 729. We'll stand as we sing together. Great God, we sing that guiding hand by which supported still we stand. The opening year thy mercy shows. Let mercy crown it till it's close. 729. We'll stand as we sing together. George with us tonight. Our sister Natasha's throat is giving up and needs rest, so we're delighted, and I know Natasha appreciates you, George, stepping in tonight. And normally it would be George and Jennifer, but Jennifer's under the weather too, so we're all sick and bad, but George is holding up, so he's going to come now and minister to us. Thank you, George.
To see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the part of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowned in your blood-stained brow. This the part of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead or raised to life, finished the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. One through your selfless love, this the part of the cross. Son of God, slain for us, what a love cost we stand forgiven at the cross.
Thank George for that ministry. It's good to hear about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord Jesus Christ did and the forgiveness available to us through the work of Christ on the cross. We do welcome you tonight in the Lord's name, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together. Good to see our brother, Reverend Stripp, with us as well, and some of the family, and we welcome them, of course, and all of you tonight, and we trust that the Lord will bless our coming together in His name this evening. Could I remind you that this is our building fund, and all loose collections go towards our building fund today, this being Building Fund Sunday. And then this week marks the beginning of the work again after the Christmas New Year break. Monday, the Little Sunbeams resumes again at 10, and then the Awana Club at 6:45 tomorrow evening. And then on Tuesday night, the children's meeting resumes again at 7 o'clock, 7:45. And of course, the midweek Bible study has been off for a few weeks too with the way the holidays fell, but it resumes again, and we commend that to you as we pray for our families on Tuesday night, and of course, pray for the work of God and the needs of the work. And do remember, please, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Friday, the Youth Fellowship, and do remember that, please. And it's DVD night this Friday at 8 o'clock, and all young people are welcome. Saturday night, the Youth Reach resumes again from 7:30 to 9:15 this Saturday, and then again the 26th. And then next Lord's Day, the Sunday School resumes, and the Bible class at 10 o'clock. And do remember all parents for that, please. And 11:30 and 7, the two church services, Reverend David Priestley will be the preacher at both services next Lord's Day. Remember, please, the times of prayer before the services. We're emphasizing at the start of the new year the emphasis on prayer and the need for prayer and need for consistency in our prayer meetings. And we urge you to come on Tuesday nights and the Lord's Days and other seasons of prayer. Bray Valley Home will be in the afternoon, 3 o'clock next Lord's Day. And then we do have the little motto cards, little texts for the new year. They're available. If you haven't got one, do please pick it up as you leave the service tonight. And then our church dinner is on Friday the 25th of January at 6:45. The meal will be served at 7. We want everybody here 6:45. Forms are to be filled in. They're available and to be returned to either Robert Catterson or Mervyn Barr by the 20th at the latest. We're having a night of food and fellowship and praise. Reverend Greenfield will be here to do the compare work and then sing as well. Gospel singer Joy Boyd, who's just released her second album, will be ministering in song. Do come along, bring your friends and family for a good evening of fellowship and food. All the details you need are on the list there, the menu, and all of the details in regard to prices, etc. Do come along and join us on that occasion. Remember the closing date of the 20th of January, please. And then could I also mention, we have our special family and friends night service on Sunday the 27th of January. Special testimony, Mr. Samuel Heenum. A wonderful story of God's amazing grace. And our brother will be here. It's the first time I think he's been with us. But do remember that special night on the 27th of January. A marvelous story of the grace of God. Our brother Matthew McGill will be singing as well. And there'll be supper with Group 2 in charge of the supper on that occasion. Could I also just mention to you that on the 20th, we'll be thinking about 50 years that I've been saved. I've been saved 50 years. I know that you only think I'm that age, 50, but I am 50. I've been saved 50 years, and in that week of leading up to the 20th, of January, I will be 50 years a believer. And so I'm going to reflect on that, and I'm going to share the blessings that the Lord has given me in 50 years. There's a story of a great man, Chinnicky. You ever read the book, Father Chinnicky? He was saved out of the Church of Rome 50 years in the Church of Rome, or 50 years in the Church of Christ. Well, 50 years in the Church of Christ, certainly that's my testimony. And so remember, please, that the 20th of January, we'll share some reflections on how the Lord has saved us and how the Lord has helped us through the years. This week is the week of prayer for our ministers. Do remember that, please, at Carrick House, Clocher, from tomorrow at lunchtime through to Friday lunchtime. Do remember that, please. And then our church week of prayer from the 4th of March to the 10th. We've changed it this year. We're not having reports each night. I'm sure some people will be glad that you don't have to do a report. But we will be just concentrating on the life of the church as a whole and the gospel mission with Reverend Higginson, which is in April the 7th to the 14th. And we need to pray for God's blessing upon the work of God. So please remember that first week of March, and let's come to pray to ask God to work in the midst of his cause in these days. Remember those who are ill, quite a number of people who are ill at the present time. There seems to be a lot of illness going about. And do remember those laid aside. Especially remember Billy Heron. And Billy's going through treatment starting tomorrow in the Ulster Hospital, chemotherapy. So remember Billy and pray for him, and pray the Lord will save him. That's the most important thing, that the Lord will bring him to Christ. So remember that situation. Others too that need our prayers. I visited the Dunmurry Church on my way back this morning, and there's graffiti all over the front of the building as well. They did the side of it during the week, and now they've done the front of it. So do please remember our brethren and sisters there in prayer. The local council of County said they're going to come out and they're going to power wash it. I don't know how they're going to get it off, but they have a means, no doubt, of getting it off free of charge as well, which is even better. But we're thankful for those who have helped us in that regard. But remember the people there. It's a loyalist estate. They can't even leave the house of God alone. They have to disfigure it and to deface it. And do pray that God will open their eyes and save these people that have done this, even at this time. We're going to turn to hymn number 730, keeping our seats as we have our offerings for the Lord's work. 730, my helper God, I bless his name, whose love forever is the same, the tokens of whose gracious care open and crown and close the year. 730, keeping our seats, and the offerings will be taken up.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Victory, oh victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love was to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I've heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there that song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I'd like to thank George for that ministry. May the Lord bless it to our hearts
tonight. Great to hear those old pieces about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we always enjoy hearing those pieces. May the Lord bless that to our hearts tonight. We're going to read together from 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. Reading together from this portion of God's Word tonight. The second book of Kings, the chapter 20, and we're reading from the opening verse. You'll find a very similar passage to this in the book of Isaiah, of course, chapter 38. And you can compare those two chapters, but this is one of the chapters that speaks of Hezekiah in this particular context. The other one is in Isaiah chapter 38. So when the Lord repeats something, it's very, very significant. The Holy Spirit has something very important to say to us. 2 Chronicles 20, we'll read just a short portion here from this scripture tonight. Verse 1, 2 Kings. Did I say Chronicles? Sorry. I'm starting the new year well, getting everything mixed up. 2 Kings chapter 20. No doubt my wife will tell me on the way home, you made a mistake. So I'm realizing it myself. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1, please. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for mine own sake, for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. And shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We seek your face for your blessing tonight upon your word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight from 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. A message for 2019. Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. In the days of the past week, you and I no doubt have heard and read New Year messages from various people across the world. The world's political leaders have given us their New Year's messages, as have the world's religious leaders. We have listened to the New Year forecasts from those in the economic and business sectors of the world. We hear the speculation, but it seems at the start of a new year, we are swamped with all of this. Even more so as the countdown to Brexit is on. With the passing days and weeks and months, much of what is put out at the new year is forgotten. Or even as time goes on, it seems almost irrelevant as it is overtaken by events. The words of men and of women fall to the ground. They peel into utter insignificance as time passes by. But I want to come to a message that never fades from view. A message that is timeless. It is never out of date. Whether it be the year 2000, 2019, or whatever year it is. It is, of course, the Word of God. While books written by men are often forgotten, or cannot even be found, this book remains. Its message remains. For the Word of God endureth forever. It is the unchanging word of the unchanging God. And I want to underline it to you at the commencement of this year and pray that the Lord by His Spirit would write His word, the message of His truth, upon your heart for this year. Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Three simple things I leave with you from this text tonight. First of all, the directive that is clear. Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order. How often, sadly, have we heard of a doctor saying to a very ill patient, have you your affairs in order? The reason he or she is saying that is because the outlook is bleak as far as that patient is concerned. And it is wise, of course, to have our affairs in order as far as earthly and material things are concerned. It is the sensible thing to do. But above and beyond all of the physical, temporal, material things, there is the spiritual. The message from heaven, from God Himself, set thine house in order. Listen to this message tonight. For every person needs to hear it, and every person needs to heed it. The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Will you hear tonight? Will you listen tonight? Will you pay heed to the Word of God tonight in this service? Notice, first of all, it was a personal directive. Set thine house in order. It was delivered personally to Hezekiah by the prophet Isaiah. It had God's stamp of approval upon it. It was God's message, thus saith the Lord. And here was God's messenger, Isaiah, with God's message. I remember my father many years ago relating to me that the message my grandmother received when my grandfather was killed in the Battle of the Somme. He was told about it in later years, as he was only 3 when my grandfather went out to the war. The message came with the very stamp of government upon it. The message was delivered to my grandmother that my grandfather would not return. He had died in the battle on the first day of July, 1916. And here is God's word personally brought to this man, Hezekiah. It's not somebody else, it was him. And God's message is not for somebody else tonight, it's for you. We're always quick to say, the message is not for us, it's for the wife, or it's for the husband, it's for the family, it's for the man next door, it's for the neighbor up the road, or the person that I know. It's not for me. But God's word comes to you tonight, to your door. You come to face with the word of God. There can be no getting away from it. Set thine house in order. Listen to it tonight. Pay heed to it. It's for you right now in this meeting tonight. See the many times the Lord has delivered such a directive to you. And yet, on numerous occasions, you've closed your ears to the message. But he comes with exactly the same words tonight. At the start of this new year, set thine house in order. Are you going to shut out God's message again tonight? It was a personal directive. But it was a particular directive because the prophet said here, the message from God through the prophet was, set thine house in order. It concerned his house. The thought here in the original language in which it was written is this, give charge concerning thine house. Put matters in order. Don't hesitate to do it. Don't delay in the doing of it. Make sure you're in a state of readiness. You may have given some attention to those material things that need to be attended to, and that's good. But what about the spiritual? Have you set things in order in relation to your house, in relation to your soul tonight, in relation to your eternity? The word of God says there in Matthew chapter 24, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The jailer, when he was awakened there in Acts 16, at the midnight hour by the earthquake that shook the prison at Philippi, he said to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And their reply was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. Had to do with his house, you see. Set thine house in order. Will you do that tonight? Will you set your house in order? Will you do it now? The jailer believed in God with all his house, Acts 16:34. What a wise thing he did. What a wise thing they all did. Their house was set in order. Is your house in order tonight? Is it in order? It was a personal directive. It was a particular directive. But it was a very pointed directive, because he said, set thine house in order. You see, things were not in order. They had to be put in order. And how often this happens with a sudden death. Somebody dies totally unexpectedly. No preparation made. The family are in a state of terrible shock, understandably so. And accompanying this, no one knows anything about details of what is to happen. There is no order. Just total disorder. And it brings further heartbreak to an already distressed family. Where do I find this? Or where do I find that? Or where do I find the other thing? Now was the time for Hezekiah to put all things in order. To give the command, to give the charge, that's the sense here, as we've said, concerning this. Do all the practical and necessary things. But my friend, do the most vitally important thing. And get right with God. Get right with God. Because that is the vital thing that you must do. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Then things will be put in order. Things will be right as far as eternity is concerned. Will you make it right with God tonight? Make sure you're safe and secure as far as your soul is concerned. You'll notice the directive that was clear. But the second thing in our text tonight is the death that was coming, because it says, thou shalt die and not live. He was facing death, this man. The last enemy. And what a solemn thing that is, death. Here is this great king Hezekiah. He was a righteous man. He did many good things. He wasn't perfect. But he did many good things in his reign. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 38, the other portion we mentioned, where this is found, Isaiah 38, verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. This severe sickness laid hold upon his bodily frame, and his life was ebbing from him. And you know, my friend, death is coming for all of us. The seeds of death are within us. Whether it be sooner or whether it be later, the Bible says we must all needs die. And we're all nearer to death than we were last year. It is appointed unto man once to die. We're not on the scene of time forever. And one day we will die, whether our lives be long or short, because God has determined, according to Job 14, the number of our days. And this sickness that this man Hezekiah had was severe. So severe was it that it seemed as if his life was drawing to a close. And you know, my friend, there's no one exempt from sickness. Some people never seem to be sick, and then suddenly a sickness comes upon them which is severe, which appears to be threatening their very life. And here we have this great man, this great king Hezekiah, a man of majesty and might, a man of power and influence. But he was not exempt from sickness. And he was stricken by it and by its severity. And it seems as if the end is near. And you know, my friend, life is so uncertain. One day we are well, seemingly in the fullness of health and strength. The next day we're laid low with a great illness to the very point of death. It can happen in a moment of time. And perhaps some of you even sitting here tonight and me standing here tonight will not be here next week. That's a stark reality. It's a stark reality. If such were to happen to you and death were to come, would you be ready for it? You're only ready for it if you're saved. You're only ready for it if you're trusting in Christ and in His finished work on the cross. If the journey of life for you were to soon be at an end, are you prepared for that greater journey from time into eternity? Because that's the greatest journey of all. And make sure you've got the passport for that journey. The passport of God's salvation. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. I was reading an article just in recent days by the Scottish comedian Sir Billy Connolly, who admitted his life is near the end. And his life is slipping away as he spoke about life with Parkinson's disease and prostate cancer. He talks about not being scared of death, an adventure, he says. And it's quite interesting to see myself slipping away. Not a mention he makes of preparation for death. Billy Connolly is one of the most foul-mouthed men I ever had listened to. I didn't listen to him by purpose, but you turn on something and heard what he said. He was a foul mouth. And you know what he said also? He said he loved swearing. That's what he said. Here's a dying man. Literally, here's a dying man. No time for God. The darkness and the delusion of his soul without God. He has not set his house in order. Oh, he is probably millions as far as material things are concerned, but facing death with no hope, and he doesn't even know it. How awful that is. Without God, and without hope in the world, and without hope for all eternity. Hezekiah was not without hope. Because his trust was in the Lord, he rested solely in the God of heaven, the one whom he knew personally and lived for in his life. His confidence was in the God of heaven. He knew the one who holds the future, and he was confident that he would see him through. Have you this hope, friend? Have you this hope tonight? Are you saved? It's the most important thing of all. You may have very good credentials as far as your family is concerned and as far as your life is concerned and as far as your character is concerned, but it doesn't matter a jot if you're not saved. You're not saved. You can come to this church all your life and die without Christ. How sad that would be. Every bit as sad as if as a man or woman who never darkens the door of a church who dies without Christ. But I want you to think tonight not only about the death that was coming, but the third thing in this passage is the deliverance that was comforting. You see, as you read down here in verse 2 of 2 Kings chapter 20, he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He was a man with a burden. This great sickness had come upon him. He was a stricken man. And the words that he had just heard from the prophet of the Lord, "Thou shalt die and not live." And what a burden sickness brings to the person afflicted by it. It weighs heavily upon him or upon her. And here's a man, he's a stricken man. But here's a man who believed in God. Because we read, he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, he's not only a stricken man, but he's a supplicating man. He's praying to the Lord. He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He was focused in his praying. His heart was fixed on the Lord. turning away from all the other distractions. He concentrated in his prayer to the God of heaven. Are you burdened about your sin tonight? That terrible sickness which will bring death for you. When you come to the Lord with your burden tonight and pray as Hezekiah prayed for God's intervention. The publican of old in Luke's gospel, he prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You need God's mercy tonight. If you don't get God's mercy, you'll be lost, friend. But thank God, his mercy is available to you. Will you turn to the Lord tonight, cry unto him? He was a stricken man. He was a supplicating man. He was a broken man. He was a sore man because the Bible says he wept sore. He wept greatly or extremely. So the word is, he was broken before the Lord. And the broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Are you broken before the Lord? Oh, that you might be broken tonight. That the hardness of your heart might be removed, that your heart might be humbled before the Lord, as was Hezekiah's here. He came with a burden. He came with brokenness. He was sore, stricken man, a supplicating man, a sore man. The Lord intervened in the case of Hezekiah. Look at verse 5. I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. The Lord heard his prayer. The Lord had seen his tears. He would heal him. Divine intervention indeed. God stepped into the seeming hopelessness of this man, bringing help, bringing hope, bringing healing. He was a broken man, but he was a blessed man. He was a blessed man. The Lord blessed him. The Lord restored him. And now let us be clear, it's not always God's will to heal a person physically. Sometimes it is and sometimes not. But God knows what's best, friend, and God doeth all things well. But he is willing to heal the sickness of sin. He's willing to do that. And he will heal you from that sickness tonight. If you come to him in sincere prayer and brokenness of heart, as Hezekiah did, he called unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. Will you call upon the Lord tonight? The Lord will hear you. You see, he was a stricken man, he was a supplicating man, he was a sore man, but he was a spared man. God spared him. God spared him. He added 15 years to his life. He was spared. God gave him life in the place of death. And the Lord Jesus tells us tonight in John chapter 10, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the antidote was provided here. That's why he was spared, because God intervened, yes, but because God gave the antidote. Look at verse 7. Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took it and laid it in the boil. He recovered. Some of you may be old enough to remember when someone had a boil or something like that. Maybe your mother or your grandmother would have got a poultice and put it on it. And to draw out that which was bad and to bring healing. Maybe you've had that experience. It was an old cure. And funny enough, in recent days, somebody was saying to me about a certain problem they had. They said, we put a poultice on it. And true enough, they were as right as rain in a few days. The poultice worked. It still works. You see, the old cure still worked. The old cure still worked. But here was the antidote. the lump of figs applied to the boil, and he was healed. They took it and laid it in the boil, and he recovered. Thank God for the antidote that is provided for the sinner through the sacrifice of Christ and the shedding of his precious blood. There is cleansing and healing for all who will wash in that life-giving flood. There is perfect deliverance and joy to be had in this world through the blood. What a message. Beginning of 2019, set thine house in order. Thou shalt die and not live. But thank God there is hope here. That this man recovered, this man who was stricken, was spared. And God healed him. And God delivered him. And God gave him length of days. And friend, God can do that for you tonight. You can have your eternity secured by coming to Christ tonight. Will you come right at the start of this new year and trust in Christ tonight? May the Lord help you to do that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt indelibly write upon the hearts of every listener the truth of thy holy word tonight. Bring some soul or souls to Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning in our hymn books to our closing hymn, 273. 273, I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. For cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. 273. On page 286, we'll stand after the introduction and sing together. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Mean, weak, and vile, spoken to you tonight, you're not saved, or you're not sure, or you're backslidden, do come and speak to us as you leave. Or hear your servant for Jesus' sake. What a good way to begin the new year, getting right with God, getting the matter of your soul settled tonight. Glad to have our brother, Reverend Calvin Stripp, with us. Ask Calvin if he would just lead us in a closing prayer, please. Thank you.
Father, we thank thee for thy speaking voice tonight. We pray, Lord, that as the voice of man falls silent, we ask, Spirit of God, that thou would speak on. We pray, Father, that thou would send forth that effectual call tonight. Lord, we have heard that outward call. We pray, Father, that thou would send forth that inward call.
Amen.
And that some sinner will look unto thee, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, and would enter into this new year, rejoicing in their Lord and in their Savior. Lord, open the eyes, we pray. Lord, for thou art the only one. Lord, we look to thee tonight. And as thy people, Lord, we pray that thou would lead us forward. Take us into this new year, Lord, we pray. May we follow thy word. May we walk in thy ways. May our ways be thy ways, and may thy ways be our ways. Lord, we pray for that help. Undertake for those, Lord, who need comfort. Be with them also. We ask now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit may rest, remain, and abide with us all, both now and forevermore.
Amen.